You have come to it by the hundreds, by the thousands. And I hear weak talk. Always trying to talk down what has happened here in America, in this community. People from without and people from within. If I was Satan himself and saw what has happened here in this community, then do you mean to tell me those people who just 50 years ago or just 100 years ago were worked like dumb animals and were told that they were not even human on a level with other human beings and wasn't given anything to lead them except what they inherited from their slave master's environment? Do you mean to tell me that there is now leadership among them, those people, that is a powerful challenge to the church leadership, to the synagogue leadership, to every leadership in the land, and that they are now leading themselves independently and offering leadership to others, that they have now come through black superiority and black supremacy after they were reduced to nothing by white supremacy? And now just in less than two years or so, they have stood up now as universal human beings, fighting against black supremacy and fighting against white supremacy. If I was Satan himself, I would take my hat off and my crown off to that black man. Beloved people, when great people stand up, giving themselves 100% to Almighty God, don't expect a lot of spectators to say, it didn't happen in the past, it's not going to happen today. You're going to have to stand up for your own man, for your own leadership, and do this. Ain't nobody else gonna do it. Look how long we've been fighting the evil that take us down and take the society down. How many leaders from the society has come in here and given this the credit that it due? They haven't come in here and given this the credit that it is due. They're afraid to show too much support for this, because they recognize this as a clean, wholesome, powerful movement for truth and God alone. And they want to keep something that they have, that they're living off of. That's not God. That's not truth. So they can't give themselves completely to this. If it's not racism, it's materialism. If it's not that, it's moral weakness. There's something that they still want to hold on to, that they can't give up. So don't expect the world to join you. You have to pull the world behind you. You understand? The world is not going to join a pure and righteous thing. That pure and righteous thing has to pull the world up out of this corruption and filth. It takes a lot of strength to follow what I'm asking you to follow. I'm not asking you to be a Muslim like the Muslim in Egypt. I'm not asking you to be a Muslim like the Muslim in Arabia. I'm not asking you to be a Muslim like the Muslim in Pakistan. I'm asking you to be a Muslim like Prophet Muhammad. That's what I'm asking you to do. And that's too much to ask most people. But I guarantee you, You have the capacity. You have the spiritual power. You have the spiritual hunger in you. You have the moral hunger in you. You have the hunger for a decent society in you that's strong enough as a power to move you and bring you behind this truth. It's too much to ask of others, but it's not too much to ask of you. I guarantee you that. If you are wise, you will thank Allah for blessing you with the leadership that you have. I'm not saying thank Allah for me so I will live as a great person among you. No, indeed. Thank Allah for me so that you will grow into a great person. There is no way for your mind to grow big if you ignore what has happened right here in America in my own life. Do you think God will bless you to grow to be a great Muslim and you ignore what has happened into my life? I am a descendant of slave parents. I am a descendant of Christian parents. I'm a descendant of a black Muslim who taught me black supremacy and materialism and taught me to believe that God is flesh and blood and never was anything else. I'm a descendant of a leader like that who told me that his master, Farad Muhammad, and him was the ones that were going to lead this world. And that if I didn't give myself to Master Farad and him, I would be destroyed. And just in a few years, I have been given his community. And I have brought his community further along a path to real religion and to real truth than any Christian has to come, than any Jew has to come. I'm not preaching blackness to you. I'm not telling you to place importance on black skin. But I am preaching to you that you have a greater dignity now to identify in than black skin. You have the richness of a spirit for righteousness. You have the richness of a spirit for obedience to God. You have the richness of a spirit to establish truth and decent society. You have spiritual excellence. You have spiritual richness. You have moral capacity for moral superiority. Not that you are morally superior, but you have a moral capacity for moral superiority. You might say what I'm saying is un-Islamic. I am not. Islam came to a people who were deepest in darkness. The pagan Arabs, the idolatrous Arabs. Islam came to a people who were deepest in ignorance of culture, high culture, civilization. But it was in those people who had a great void of spiritual worth and moral worth that God chose to raise up Muhammad among. And Father Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he began to pour God water of rich spirituality, of rich morality, of rich intellectualism. He began to pour that into that deep void. And when that deep void was filled up, those people had more worth, had more wealth, had more water of moral strength, of spiritual strength, of rational purity than all the people on earth at that time. Why? Why did they have more? Because their void was deeper. Their container was empty. They had more room for what God had to offer them. And the same thing has happened in America. God has chosen a people whose void is deeper than the void of any other people, whose container was more empty than the container of any other people. And he's poured his truth into me and you, and we are now the biggest people on this earth. I'm compelled to tell you this. It is not God's intention to raise us up here and give us a leadership from somewhere else. God's intention is to raise us up here so that the whole world can be inspired and raised up by this life. Don't you know there is no source that of a religious revival? There is no source of human and social reform more promising than this one right here in America. If the African will rise up and preach deliverance for the world, preach against white supremacy, preach against black supremacy, preach against enslavement, preach against moral degeneration, he could not be as effective as me, because I'm born under the joint of history, America. I'm born under the mountain, the Mount Everest, of spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. I'm born in the place where slavery have never deteriorated to the depth that it deteriorated here in this country. There have never been any slaves reduced to inferiority to the depth that we was reduced in this country. I stand in the best spot. I stand in the best spot. I stand in the spot that promises more. Because it is the spot where the greatest challenge to truth has been and still is. If Almighty God can lift us up here under the feet of the giant, in the clutches of the giant, from the bottom of the society, and then lift us up as a voice to command respect from the giant, all the other shorties should take their hats off and say, praise be to Allah. It was just a few years ago when the giant here on this continent either had everybody else obeying him or had them with their mouths shut. They didn't have the courage or the strength to speak out against him. Now, if Daniel can be brought to life in the lion's den, isn't that an encouragement? Isn't that hope for salvation to all the world? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, the hope for every enslaved community of the world, the hope for every demoralized community of the world, is right here in this community, right here in this leadership that we are offering right here in America. This is plain, clear ABC language. It doesn't mean that I'm going to become the prophet of Islam. No, Muhammad is and always will be the prophet of Islam and the last prophet to the world. But that prophet needs a witness. That prophet needs somebody that respect what he did in this earth. Enough to do it the right way. Enough to follow him as he led. He needs somebody that's bold enough to stand up in the world and attack white supremacy, attack black supremacy, attack yellow supremacy, attack green supremacy, attack any supremacy, for God's sake. Now, I don't want to hold you here forever. But I'll tell you this. If you're going to give your life to something else besides this, once you leave here, you will be much better off staying here forever. I'm late for my plane, but my plane is not more important than this. It's going to take off, and I'm not going to be there. Islam is salvation for the whole world. Islam is the savior, the champion for the whole world. The champion of freedom, justice, equality. The champion of human dignity. Islam is that champion. It's a champion that can't be defeated. But who has the courage to come out and introduce that champion? Most of the people have the courage to introduce prayer, to introduce ritualism, to introduce personalities, to introduce submission to God. But they don't have the courage to introduce that champion in his full glory. Yes, Islam teaches this, but no but. I don't tell you Islam teaches this, but Islam teaches this. And we must live this. The power is in the message of Islam, as that message was completed and perfected by God in the mission of Prophet Muhammad of Arabia. Peace and blessings be upon him. The keys sound so simple when you get them, that you underestimate that power to unlock your life and free you to live the life that Almighty God intended for you. The key is one God, having no image, having no identity in creation. Creator is not creation. Creator is the God, the master, the creator, the former of creation. Creation is inferior to creator. Creator is the master. Creation is the servant. The stars, the heavenly bodies, the life on earth, your own physical body, all of these things obey laws that was put in the physical creation by Almighty God. When man learns all that he can of this physical world without God's guidance, he comes to the conclusion that the physical world in its totality is God. And that the forces of the world is God. He believes that the human being, being intelligent, is the highest manifestation of God. So he wants to put God in a human being's image. But if he's blessed to get his knowledge lift up to a high plane and then submit his high crown down on the ground to his creator and say, I know and I'm made wise. I know now I don't have to pray to you for wheat and eggs. I know how to grow it. I know how to raise it for myself. I know now, God, I don't have to pray to you for wealth. I know how to make it for myself. I don't have to pray to you, God, now for defense against my enemies. My intelligence have enabled me to create and invent weapons that frighten the whole world. I don't have to pray to you, God, for knowledge to keep people obedient to government, to my government. I have come into a knowledge of how to manipulate the minds of people, how to plot their behavior and make it tick on time to my cadence. But still, God, I recognize that I need help. So with all of my rational knowledge, with all of my rational power, the fear on it, I'm going to put my crown on the floor in sector, in prostration to you. That man, God guides him. God gives him greater wealth. God shows him just how to overcome the problems of the rich and boastful and learned society. It was these humble men who were rational but not the highest in knowledge, who submitted themselves to God, and God blessed them with his guidance, and then they came back to the learned society and challenged the learned society and eventually brought the learned society back into the fold of worshipers of God. We have the same problem today. What will bring us into the fold again? What will save the world? One God, having no identity in creation. God's identity is not human, it's not wind, it's not air, it's not fire, it's not the whole universe. His identity is only known as much as he chooses to make it known to the persons that he chooses to reveal it to. And the Holy Quran says that we cannot capture God with our sight. We can only get some knowledge of the being. And the description of God. If we had a focus so big that we could capture the whole God with it, we would be bigger than God. And look, brother, I'm not talking to the sister. There's no sister that has ever become so crazy that she thought a man was God. Hold up. Unless she was really crazy. But no sister in her normal mind have ever thought that a man was God. It's only crazy men that force the belief on them. We have to do it. We have to force it on. It doesn't come natural to us. We force it on our mind that God is a man. The sisters know better. They know what a man is. You can't make a sister believe a man is God. She'll say, yes, all praise is due to you, God. But inside she's saying, God help this young boy. She knows better. have a natural evolution. There's a natural evolution of spiritual knowledge in the earth. It has conformed to a natural evolution. First man looks at the environment. He sees the forces of the environment, and these crush him. They bring him under fear, and they make him fear that maybe God is speaking in this image. So he gives himself to the worship of thunder, to the worship of lightning, to the worship of fire, to the worship of a mountain, to the worship of rain, to the worship of those things that he sees as powerful forces in his environment. But as his knowledge increases, he begins to push those things away as gods to worship. The last thing for him to overcome is himself. After he gets all the knowledge, then he thinks that maybe I'm God. Finally, he evolves above that and realizes, no, not even I am God. I am the same old primitive man that used to worship the thunder, used to worship the light, used to worship the mountain, used to worship the fire. I have to go back and become a worshiper. I was born a worshiper. Now I have to go back and become a worshiper again. But this time, not seeing God in the image of creation, but seeing God in the image of Creator, who really has no image, cannot be conceived in an image. This is deliverance. This is salvation. This frees your life. It makes it possible for you to relate in a natural and right way to your family members, to the members of your society, to your government, to the world, and to the whole universe. Thank you. Without this, we are doomed. Until you come to the season, you can wear the clothes of the last season. But once you come to the new season, you have to dress in the dress of the new season. If you try to wear those old winter coats, winter boots and hats in July that you wore in January, you're going to be a miserable cuss. Almighty God has moved humanity, have moved civilization, have moved humanity and the human spirit and the human society. He has moved it up the ladder of evolution from all of his primitive ignorance, from all of his primitive worship. He has now moved it into the season of judgment, a season that deprives you of any benefit from worshiping anything but God and his true identity. If you don't worship him in his true identity in this day, whatever you worship is going to work against you. It's going to retard your moral development. It's going to retard your rational development. You're going to become a destroyed thing on this earth. I'm telling you a fact of this present time, a fact of this present time. You cannot grow morally, spiritually. You cannot grow even rationally today unless you accept the guidance of God as we are giving it to you. Don't you see the leadership of the world? Don't you see how helpless it is? Can it redeem the schools? Can it redeem the society? Can it redeem the church? If it has not the power to redeem its education, to redeem its school, has not the power to redeem the church, has not the power to redeem government, everything is at a loss. Everything is confused. Everything, the leadership from everywhere is saying, we don't know the answers. We don't have the answers. We can't offer you any clear path to victory. All of us are experimenting. All of us are researching. All of us are thinking and planning. We are trying to discover a way out of the confusion and the miserable life that we have fallen into. That's what they're saying. And day by day, the good senses of the Western world are falling limper and limper, withering like a tree that has no water. Day by day, look how senseless the homes are becoming. Look how senseless the government leadership is becoming. Only a few people are showing some sign of life. It's like a community that has suddenly been killed by a great blow. And you go and look for life in the community, and most of the things you pass by are motionless. Every now and then you find a movement from a thought. A slight movement in a toe. But there is no being or no section or sector a part of the government, a part of the society, standing up wholly with whole life. Everything has been frustrated. Everything has fallen down to the ground as dead. And what you see is just a slight motion from something as light. When Mr. Renault Robinson spoke here today, we saw a shaking, a trembling in one member of the body. That's a sign that there's little life left in the body. But was it whole life? No. The only thing he said was that you have to make government respond to your needs. Government is helpless to respond to my needs. Government is under the same death influences that the society is under. If you would believe that there is only one God, that your prayers go straight to that God, you don't have to pray to Christ, you don't have to pray to the saints, you don't have to pray to Muhammad, you don't have to pray to anybody, you pray to Allah. Prophet Muhammad never taught us to pray to anyone except Allah. And the Quran tells us that Allah is as close to each one of us as our own life vein. The life vein that feeds life to my brain. The Holy Quran tells me that Allah is as close to me as that. So what right have I to yell out and scream, God help me, come down from your kingdom. Arise from your heaven. I can speak quietly. I can think quietly. And the God that is closer to me than my own life vein hears me louder than I can hear myself. The individual is a powerful, dignified creature. He is the greatest thing in creation. But if he turns his eye from the direction of God, he begins falling down, and he can fall to the lowest of the low, according to the words of Most High God in the Quran. That he has made us in the best of molds. But then we are reduced to the lowest of the low by turning our eyes from the direction of God. Dear beloved people, know that there is a power in you to save yourself. All you have to do is have faith in that power. What is that power? Worship of God. In your nature is a desire to worship Almighty God. If you will let that power live and grow in you and worship God properly, give yourself 100% to the one God who created the skies and the earth and all things. You will begin to come into more and more awareness of your own strength as a human being, following and obeying God, to overcome all the opposition, to meet all the obstacles in life before you, and to make life for yourself a heaven, and for your family, and for the society. You can do it. Certainly, God is God, but He has given us a position as His custodian to establish right leadership, right order, right society on this earth. He has given that to our charge. That's our responsibility. God didn't say, I'm going to give you an angel to do this for you. He said, no, you have to do it for yourself. God didn't say, I'm going to do it for you. He said, I gave the job to you. You have to do it for yourself. God is not going to give us a good life. God is going to give us good guidance for a good life. We have to follow that guidance and execute that blueprint in our life and build that good life for ourselves. God is not going to put bread in your mouth. He put a titty in your mouth when you were born. And He made your mother take that titty out of your mouth to let you know you have to use your hands. You have to do something for yourself. God gives us the life. He gives us the intelligence. He gives us the spiritual and moral nature. Then He gives us revelation to guide us as a blueprint for that life. If we don't work, we'll have no building. God is not going to build the building. He gave us the blueprint. We have to build the building. How many of you are ready to be real Muslim? How many of you are ready to stop lying to yourself, to stop lying to your family and to your relatives, stop lying to your leaders, and start being true Muslim? All praises to Allah, Allahu Akbar. Live the life of Islam. Don't be hypocrites. If I invite you to Islam, and you come to Islam, and you accept that Allah is God, say Allah is God. Don't say creation is God. Don't say human intelligence is God. Don't say human conscience is God. Your conscience is a baby. It was born and raised up. Your intelligence is a baby. It was born and raised up. Your spirit is a baby. It was born and raised up. Everything about you was born and raised up. God created you. God rebirthed you. God created, made possible your reproduction. God has made possible your raising up from nothing to something, from a baby to a man, from a baby to a woman. You have nothing to boast of unless it is faith and obedience to God. So know this, and don't say with your mouth, Allah is God. Don't say with your mouth, the chief minister say, man is not God, and saying with your mind, but mine is God. Mine is not God. Mine is darkened and corrupted and killed. God cannot be darkened. God cannot be corrupted. God cannot be killed. God does not need a rebirth. God does not need a resurrection. Human life, spiritually, moral, and intellectually, dies occasionally in history and needs a rebirth or a resurrection. Allah never needs a rebirth. Allah never needs a resurrection because He was never born. Have always existed. Don't let these deceivers trick you. They take my teachings. And I say my teachings, I don't mean that I have a religion. I mean my commentary, my explanation, my discourse on the teaching of Islam and the Bible, etc. They take this and they give it to you piecemeal. Give it to you in part. They take this part and put it with that part. They take it out of its original context and give it to you in the context that they want it in to produce the effect in you that they want to produce. did this happen? Right here in this so-called mosque. Right here in this so-called masjid. Where else does it happen? It happens on the radio. They take tapes of my talk. And they stop the text tape on a point to make an effect and leave that effect on your mind. Don't judge what I say by what you hear from others. Don't even judge what I say by what you hear in the paper that somebody else put in that paper from me. Don't judge it by what you hear on the radio. They plan it and arrange it and stop it where they want to stop it to produce the effect they want to produce. So far, God has not given me any help but His Quran, Prophet Muhammad, and the knowledge of His prophets and the knowledge of His scriptures. That's the only help I've gotten, an angel that you don't understand. I have this as help. I have good Muslims that come from across the water. They can't stay here and help me. In fact, most of them, when they come here, they're helpless. When they come here, they come right in under the throne of faith. And if they are not careful, Satan will turn their emotional power, their spiritual power, into a force to keep support under what he's trying to keep into existence. Not even the brothers from across the water have strength enough to come here and protect me. I'm in hell, right in the belly of the devil, fighting to break out of his structure and deliver you free of him. And I have no help except God, his revelation, and his promise. I want you to know that. Don't think that these people are with me 100%. Most of them are committed to something else besides this. The best of them might be with me 69%. But there is, 31% that they have somewhere else. It's either with their moral weaknesses or with their spiritual ignorance or with their dependency on somebody that's giving them a free meal ticket, guaranteeing them employment, offering them power. You can't trust them. I told you and I tell you again, I have sinners around me. The best of them are sinners. Why don't you get them away from around you then, see? They're the best that I got. Until better is manifest, until better come to me, I have to work with what I got. I have Shakir, Brother Shakir, who's very good for what I use him for. He makes appointments for me, very good. He arranges meetings for me, very good. He carries messages, very good. He gets me on an airline, very good. He has ability to get me booked, get me through the transportation, very good. He has ability to contact government offices and other departments, community departments, very effective. He has a great knowledge of what I teach. Before I met him, he was a student of comparative religion, theology, etc. But this brother has not yet woke up to my real value. he still restrains himself. He comes so far and he backs up. So I'm helpless, except for Almighty God. The best people around me are crippled. If it's not an arm that's missing, it's a leg missing. If it's not that, an eye is missing. But all praise is due to Allah. This is a blessing. Give me people that just just by nature slaves to money, women, foolishness, government power. Give me those people. Some atheists, some materialists, some got their own spiritual brand of religion. Give me those people that help us, so that they will see that here is a man that God has made it possible to come into truth, that none of you can twist, none of you can convert away from his face. This is good. These people around me, they represent the powerful strength.